From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into another fantastic edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Wednesday. That's right, it's Hump Day, March 16th, 2016. Folks, we've got a jam-packed show in store for all of you out there, okay? Well, today's show, we will talk about two former Michigan State men's basketball players who now find themselves in hot heat with the law. Yeah. Brandon Dawson and Mateen Cleaves, folks. We'll dive into that story, both of those stories, I should say, so you don't want to miss that discussion. We will also be playing an interesting feature done by our very own Jason Ruff, centered on the Michigan State women's club hockey team. Rob Blackburn is the new coach for that squad. You don't want to miss that. We'll also give you guys a preview of tonight's play-in game, the Michigan Wolverines taking on Tulsa. We'll preview that one also. Talk a little bit about the Red Wings and the Detroit Pistons. All of that and so much more to be a part of the show. You know that number, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this Wednesday, March 16th, brought to you by our very own Seth Kinker.
Here are your today's Current Sports quick hit headliners. In high school girls hoops Tuesday roundup, spots at the Breslin Center were up for grabs in last night's girls basketball quarterfinal round across the street. In Class A, both St. John's and East Lansing were in action looking to punch their tickets. St. John's defeated Port Huron Northern 48-35 to clinch their berth in the semifinals, which will be the school's first semifinal appearance since 1997. It will take on number 4 ranked Detroit and Martin Luther King at 1 p.m. on Friday. Meanwhile, the East Lansing Trojans saw their run come to an end at the hands of Hudsonville, 40-32. The game was tied with only 52 seconds left, but that's when Hudsonville went on an 8-0 run to seal the deal. The loss ends a turnaround season for the Trojans, also starting the year just 2-5. The Lansing Community College gets a win in the first round. The Lansing Community College Stars, the LCC men's basketball team, picked up a win yesterday in the first round of the NJCAA Division II National Tournament against the Blue Knights of Dakota County Technical College in Danville, Illinois. The Stars only had a 4-point lead at halftime, but outscored and out-rebounded the Blue Knights in the second half, winning the game with a score of 91-78. The Stars take on Essex County College at home tonight at 7 p.m. in the second round of the Division II National Tournament. Michigan and Tulsa also play tonight. The number 11 seed Michigan Wolverines and Tulsa Golden Hurricanes play in a first four play-in game in the East Region. The Golden Hurricanes have more NCAA tournament experience, having played in the 2014 event under former head coach Danny Manning. Michigan has only two players who played regular minutes in the 2014 Elite Eight run, Zach Irvin and Derek Walton, but ended the season on a high note with a buzzer-beater winner over Indiana in the Big Ten tournament before losing to Purdue in the Big Ten semifinals. The game starts at 9 p.m. on True TV. Also, in more play in action, Florida Gulf Coast and Wichita State picked up wins. The NCAA tournament officially got underway in Dayton, Ohio. Florida Gulf Coast defeated Fairleigh Dickinson in the first game, 96-65. The Eagles jumped to a 49-19 first half lead and never looked back as they move on to face North Carolina on Thursday night. In the second game, it was the Wichita State Shockers knocking out Vanderbilt 70-50. Shockers advanced to take on six-seeded Arizona also on Thursday night. Former MSU basketball Mateen Cleaves, who helped lead the Spartans to an NCAA championship in 2000, was arraigned this morning on charges that he sexually assaulted a woman last year near Flint. Cleaves, 39, was charged Tuesday with numerous counts related to the incident that took place after he met the woman at a charity golf outing back in September. Cleaves is accused of taking the 24-year-old woman to a motel in Mundy Township, southwest of Flint, on September 15th, keeping her against her will and sexually assaulting her. Prosecutors said the counts he committed a punishable life up to 10 to 15 years in prison. He was arraigned in downtown Flint and released on a personal bond. MSU Football Pro Day was today. Representatives from every single NFL team were present this morning at the Duffy Doherty Football Building. They're on hand to take on MSU's Pro Day, which gives a chance for athletes to improve their numbers from the combine. It also allows athletes not invited to the combine to showcase their skills in a more comfortable setting in East Lansing. Complete coverage of MSU's Pro Day will air tonight on BTN at 9 p.m. In hockey action, the Red Wings fell to the Flyers last night. Another slow start doomed the Red Wings as they fell behind 2-0 to the Philadelphia Flyers and couldn't fight back. Philly outshot Detroit 23-3 in the first period en route to a 4-3 victory. The loss especially hurts for the Wings as they're cushioned on the final playoff spot in the East shrinks to just 1 point over Philadelphia, who have 2 games in hand on Detroit. Next up for the Wings is a road matchup against the Columbus Blue Jackets on Thursday night. Lastly, we have the Pistons and the Hawks tonight. The Detroit Pistons are ending the home stretch, with a playoff spot now a realistic possibility. Detroit will play its next 9 games at the Palace, the team's longest homestand in 35 years. Tonight, they begin that stretch facing the surging Atlanta Hawks at home. This past Monday, the Pistons lost by 43 points to the Wizards. Detroit practiced Tuesday, and the homestand will allow an easier schedule between games since the team doesn't have to worry about travel. But Van Gundy said that's the only real advantage to being back home is not worrying about traveling. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call in at 517-355-9527 and share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet at AlMartinWKAR.
Down in the bottom here, Virginia, Purdue, Utah, Michigan State. And so you got to, now wait, the committee here, yeah. 3 years in a row, they've put Virginia, Michigan State in the same bracket. Mm-hmm. Virginia has lost 2 times to Michigan State the last 2 years. They have a phenomenal player person in Malcolm Brogdon.
And they've got a great coach.
And Tony Bennett.
And Tony Bennett. But I'm going with Michigan State. Much respect for this team. It's UVA is disciplined. But I believe, as I know a lot of others do, that Denzel Valentine may be the best college player. And the kind of leadership at the guard position that he provides Michigan State, I think, gets them into the Final Four. Bill Self owes me.
I'm putting Kansas in here. Coach, I'm just teasing. I'm not putting pressure on you.
But I think the Jayhawks, in a squeaker, get past UNC.
All right, so put your official seal on Kansas as your potential champion.
We're gonna sign this, and this is gonna be the year. I started off making the right pick. I'm gonna end making the right pick.
All right, so next year, we're just gonna have to do this as a private citizen.
Next year, if you wanna fly to Hawaii,
sure.
We'll may be able to pull that off.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been great.
Great to see you.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Thanks so much to Seth Kinker for holding down the Current Sports Quick Hit Headliner. Solid job, my man. Solid job. Again, folks, phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I tell you what, folks. Denzel Valentine just racking up the awards. I tell you, folks. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Denzel Valentine, he added a third National Player of the Year honor to his growing list of accolades as he was selected by Sports Illustrated, the magazine, announcing yesterday that Denzel is their National Player of the Year. Again, the third National Player of the Year award for Valentine. How sweet is that? Of course, last week, Valentine was recognized by USA Today Sports and NBCSports.com as their National Player of the Year. He is just the fourth Spartan to earn National Player of the Year award honors, joining Scott Skiles. He was voted National Player of the Year back in 1986 by the Basketball Times. Sean Respert, if you remember, back in 1995, he was named National Player of the Year by Sporting News and NABC. And Draymond Dede Green, in 2012, he was named National Player of the Year by NABC as well. But I think, and we may have to look this up, but Denzel Valentine may be the only Spartan to ever win three National Player of the Year award honors. And again, he's got the possibility of winning a fourth if the world of college basketball votes him as the National Player of the Year. That's the big enchilada, right? When you want to be looked at as the NCAA Men's College Basketball Player of the Year. But USA Today, Sports Illustrated, and NBC Sports all think that Valentine is deserving of that honor. And, you know, the big competition right now will be between Denzel Valentine and Buddy Hield. Without a doubt, it's a two-horse race right now. And it has been for much of the year, to be honest. And, you know, Valentine now with three of them, Sports Illustrated, NBC, and USA Today, that's pretty big. Those are pretty big publications, to say the least. Isaac, do we know if Buddy Hield has even been voted once by any other publication?
I'll look it up, but not that I've heard of.
I haven't heard anything about that. So, in my opinion, I mean, it's Denzel Valentine's to lose, which is really surprising because I thought, you know, Buddy Hield, looking at how he closed out the year and how he was consistently good, he didn't miss any games. I thought that, you know, Buddy, in the eyes of national pundits everywhere, would be the pick. But, boy, oh, boy, I'm shocked. I'm surprised. And, again, from top to bottom, and I like this because, you know, it shows that the college basketball world is not just looking at scoring here when you look at impact on the game, all right? Because Denzel Valentine is the best, clearly the best, all-around player in the game right now. He gets his teammates involved. He makes everyone on his team better when he's out there playing. He can score. He's clutch. He grabs boards. I mean, he plays great defense. There's nothing that Denzel Valentine doesn't do. Simple as that. So congratulations to Denzel Valentine. You know, I always tell this story. It's quite remarkable, you know, for me specifically because – you know, I've gotten the chance to watch and cover, had the privilege of covering Denzel Valentine when he was a little tight at Lansing Sexton High School. You know, back-to-back state championships out there with Carlton Valentine squad, his father. And I got to cover that incredible run. And I remember watching Denzel Valentine and covering his games and saying to myself, okay, this kid's good, really, really good. But I don't think that he'll be the prime player for Izzo's team at any point when he goes to Michigan City. I just thought he would be a good role player. That's what I thought Denzel Valentine would be. But boy, oh boy, I am eating those words. Yeah, I got a chance to cover Valentine. I remember watching Brim Forbes when he was in high school. Trevor Manuel was a freshman on that team. Sapp, Anthony Clemens, he was on that squad as well. Quite the team, quite the team. And now watching Denzel Valentine do what he does. I think Valentine could possibly be an NBA lottery pick with how he's playing right now. All right, folks, and moving on, I also want to give a shout-out. Now, Seth, he ran through two of our local teams, two of our local girls' high school basketball teams that have made it to the Breslin Center. Again, congratulations to St. John's. Oh, man, how about St. John's? I mean, defeating Port Huron Northern, 48-35. And, you know, well, actually, Seth mentioned one of them, just St. John's. But East Lansing coming so close to possibly, you know, making an appearance at the Breslin Center. They, of course, have arguably the best local player in the area right now, Taryn McCutcheon for East Lansing. How good is Taryn McCutcheon? My goodness. But, you know, even with her, East Lansing, they saw their run come to an end. Hudsonville, 40-32, beating the Trojans last night. But there's another team I want to shout out that is making history. For the first time in school history, the Ithaca Yellow Jackets girls basketball team have made a trip to the Breslin Center. How cool is that? Oh, boy. They beat Flint Hammondy yesterday, 51-43. And I was on Facebook, and we all know the success of the Ithaca football team. And the head coach, Terry Hesbrook, I mean, they are one of the best football programs in the nation, just not here in the state of Michigan. But, you know, I'm friends with Terry Hesbrook on Facebook. And Terry Hesbrook on his Facebook page, he posted a video of the police out in Ithaca escorting the bus back to the friendly confines of Ithaca. And everyone absolutely losing their mind for this squad. The community of Ithaca really rallying behind this incredible team. So congratulations to the Ithaca Yellow Jackets high school girls basketball team for this incredible run. The furthest they've ever been, okay? Congratulations to them. And I see they're selling T-shirts, marking their spot at the Breslin Center. Very cool stuff. So congratulations to the Yellow Jackets. That is quite the accomplishment. All right. And, you know, you heard during our montage to start today's show, that was Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, giving his annual picks. Barackatology is what they call it, as Barack fills out his bracket with Andy Katz of ESPN, going region by region and selecting who the eventual winner he thinks will be in this year's NCAA men's basketball tournament. And you heard, he's choosing Kansas, but he believes that Michigan State will get to the Final Four and fall at the hands of the North Carolina Tar Heels, a team actually on yesterday's Current Sports that I had going out the first round, baby. Yeah, Florida Gulf Coast is actually who I have on my official bracket. I'm only doing one this year. You know, and I sat back and thought about this, okay? I always succumb to this sickness that everyone succumbs to around this time of the year, okay? Where everyone fills out five or six brackets just in case, you know, these two don't work out. I got these three as backup, all right? You know, and I do that every year. Every year I at least fill out five. But you know what? I sat back on my couch last night. And I said, you know what? I'm just doing one. I'm riding or dying with just one bracket this year. And in that bracket, yeah, I'm sticking with UNC going out in the first round because we know an upset is going to happen. Upsets are going to happen. Now, never in NCAA tourney history, as I've been mentioning throughout this week, has a number one seed gone down at the hands of a number 16 seed. It's never happened before. But looking at this year in college basketball, if it's going to happen, I figured it's got to happen this year. And I really like this Florida Gulf Coast team. I watched them yesterday, as they, of course, won their play-in game, and they now move on, and they will take on North Carolina. And I really liked this team. Now, you know, will they knock off?
I've got to okay. Interrupt.
Can I finish my rant before you start cracking up? Okay. Go ahead.
No. I just had to laugh. Your boys did look good yesterday. I watched that game,
great,
too. They started
man.
Off with an alley-oop on the first play of the game, straight out of the tip.
They won by, like, 30 points, but it gets a lowly, what is it, Farley team? I think that's what they're playing. Farley Dickinson Knights.
Yeah.
I think that's what their name is. Yeah. Yeah, it was just a blowout.
Yeah, it was. Not a good game. But, Al, come on. Are we really going to go over this again?
Now,
it's not going to happen.
Is it conventional? No, not at all. But is anything conventional in the NCAA men's basketball tournament? All right, I'm having some fun here. I think North Carolina has a possibility to go down in the first round to Florida Gulf Coast. Why not? Just for kicks and giggles.
I'm having fun at you. Not with you. At
but
you.
Isaac, I can say the same thing about your upsets that you displayed
you
on yesterday's show.
They're
as
not
well.
1-16.
Well, yeah, they're not 1-16, but there are some upsets that are like, really? You know what I mean? So hey, it's when it happens, again, I'm gonna look like a genius. You just wait and see. All right. I'm gonna play
this
1,000 times. Make sure you save this show and mark this show.
I will continue your rant. Go for it,
I just wanted to say, when it comes to the playing games, of course, we will be discussing Michigan on the back end of the show. They take on Tulsa later on. And, you know, it's so entertaining, though, because watching Obama fill out, I don't know if you saw it, Isaac, but watching Obama fill out his bracket, Obama, he's never that guy. He always picks the obvious picks when filling out his bracket. He's never, you don't see any upsets, really, throughout his bracket. He always plays it safe. And, you know, it's something that can be said about politics. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're not someone named Donald Trump, you usually play it safe in the world of politics. And Obama just adheres to that cliche notion that politicians just, you know, they ride the fence a little bit. So it was just funny watching Obama fill out his bracket. And he's only gotten out of his, what, 4 years that he's done this? He's only gotten one winner right.
So, well, 7 years now.
Or seven
as
years.
As president, yeah.
Well, oh, you're right. Oh, I'm thinking like one term here. Yeah, you're right. He's done it seven times now. Oh, my gosh, yeah. And he's only gotten one of them right. I mean, that makes it even worse, though. He's only gotten one right out of the 7 years he filled out a bracket. Just goes to show that you just never can predict these brackets, man. So
but Barack, he's also been decent some of the years in 2011.
Right, right.
He had the 99th percentile bracket
That's crazy.
A long time.
That's
so
crazy.
He knows his sports. If you hear him talking about it, he's quite well-versed and quite intelligent on the subject.
Oh, I mean, he used to play as well, man. I mean, he still balls out. I don't know if the White House has a private basketball court somewhere.
They do.
So, yeah, he's always playing out there. I remember when he first got elected, I mean, he showed footage of him just balling out. And he's got a good game, too. He's pretty solid player, if you ask me. Also, before we dive into this Mateen Cleaves and Brandon Dawson story, want to give a big shout-out to the Michigan State women's basketball team as well for making the tournament. I know the incredible road that Susie Merchant has gone through dating back to last year when, you know, she had to grab a player from the volleyball team just to have a solid roster to compete. They were so battered up and beaten that they decided to not even participate in any postseason play at all last season. But now, again, they have an NCAA tournament bid. And, you know, it's so crazy when looking at where the Michigan State women's basketball team is slated right now. They're slated in the Bridgeport region of the bracket. And they will take on Belmont on the 18th. So in 2 days, that's going to be a 12:05 p.m. tip-off. So I'll be giving updates as we are on the airwaves for that show. But in that region, the number one team in that region is Geno Auriemma's UConn Huskies. Oh, my goodness. So if Michigan State makes it past the first weekend and assuming that UConn handles business, they could possibly meet Geno Auriemma and the juggernaut that is UConn. So, yeah, a bit of a tough draw, without a doubt. But at the same time, I mean, Michigan State, I mean, they're a four seed coming out of that region. Very impressive what they've been able to do this entire year. And I think maybe they could give UConn a bit of a run for their money. I don't know. That UConn is good every year, though. I mean, they blow teams out. Oh, my goodness. I mean, they talk about a dynasty. Jeez. Just a bit unfair looking at what UConn does every single year in the tourney. But it's going to be fun if they do match up. That's going to be a fun one. And I do feel a bit bad for the MSU women's basketball team. And we reported this on yesterday's show. Seeing as though, due to an already existing contract with the Michigan High School Athletic Association, Michigan State can't host the first round of the NCAA Women's Tournament. Yeah, that contract was signed in 2011 with MHSAA. You know, Breslin, they host the boys and girls high school basketball playoffs every single year, and this year is no exception. But I really wish it would have been an exception. If there was a year that it would have an exception, I really wish it would have been this year, because it would have been really cool to see Susie Merchant and her team host an NCAA tournament. Would have been pretty big. And I was told that they tried to possibly look at Jenison Fieldhouse as another possible location to host things, but that it just wouldn't been able to work out. So, but nonetheless, again, the Michigan State women's basketball team will take on Belmont, 13 seed in that region. On the 18th, so 2 days from now, Friday at 12:05 p.m., we certainly wish them luck. All right. Well, let's get to the elephant in the room on today's show, shall we? Brandon Dawson and Mateen Cleaves. If you haven't heard, if you've been living under a rock the last few days, I'll first start with the situation concerning Brandon Dawson, because this news came first, actually, on Sunday night, released really Sunday morning, I want to say, early Sunday morning. And I kind of had to do a double take because I hadn't heard about this news until actually I was a guest on Current State Monday morning. And literally minutes before I got on the airwave, Scott Pohl of Current State said, "Hey, Al, did you hear about Brandon Dawson?" I said, "No." And he proceeded to tell me this story. Clippers rookie Brandon Dawson and former Michigan State hoop star was arrested Sunday morning on suspicion of spousal abuse, a felony charge. Dawson, who is 23 years old, was arrested Sunday at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time and booked at 9:50 a.m. Pacific time. He was released after posting $50,000 bond about 6 hours later. Now, Dawson was arrested for an incident involving his live-in girlfriend. TMZ had reported Dawson's arrest, TMZ Sports. An L.A. police officer, Rosario Herrera, told the Associated Press that Dawson was taken into custody around 7:30 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday at a residence in the Playa Vista area, where the team's practice facility is located on the city's west side. Doc Rivers, the L.A. Clippers head coach, he issued a comment on it, and he says, quote, "It's an awful situation. I have a daughter, so it's a terrible situation, but we'll figure out what we want to do and how we want to handle it," end quote. Dawson was recalled to the Clippers from the NBA Developmental League on Saturday morning. So that took place this past weekend, and this is a story that many of us saw coming because it's been lingering for a few months now, and we hadn't heard any update on it until yesterday. And that concerns former Michigan State basketball star Mateen Cleaves. Cleaves has been arraigned on sexual assault charges. Cleaves appeared in a Flint courthouse today, a day after he was charged, that happening on Tuesday, with assaulting a woman at a motel last summer following a charity golf event. Now, prosecutor Kim Worthy is criticizing Judge M. Kathy Dowd, saying Cleaves' arraignment was handled clandestinely? You see that report?
Clandestinely?
Clandestinely? And your vocabulary is much more broad than mine, Isaac. So, yeah, it's clandestinely. No cameras were allowed. The prosecutor's office had asked for a Thursday hearing. And the 38-year-old Cleaves is charged with criminal sexual conduct, assault with intent to commit criminal sexual penetration, and unlawful imprisonment. His attorney says the allegations are false and absolutely outrageous. Now, here's a few specifics concerning what allegedly went down with Mateen Cleaves. A press release on Tuesday from Worthy's office said that a 24-year-old woman, her boyfriend, and several co-workers met Cleaves on September 14th at a Flint area charity golf outing. Now, the group later went to a local bar for drinks. The woman said that after leaving the bar, her boyfriend gave a friend a ride home. She believed she was returning to the golf club in Cleaves' car. The woman said she instead was taken to a Mundy Township motel and sexually assaulted in one of the rooms. She escaped and was helped by a woman in a nearby room, according to Worthy. So the case will be tried in Genesee County Court. But the Wayne County prosecutor is handling it, Worthy, because of a possible conflict of interest by Genesee County prosecutors and a potential witness. So, in the span of what, less than a week here, we've heard about two incidences, one concerning domestic violence with Brandon Dawson, and the other alleged sexual assault with Mateen Cleaves. During the week where the NCAA men's basketball tournament and Tom Izzo's team will be in the national spotlight. Talk about bad timing. Two of Izzo's former players in heat with the law. Now, first off, I want to let this know. Again, in the country we live in, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. So I want to let that get out there as well. On kind of the same subject, I sat back last night after watching the two playing games, and I watched a very interesting documentary, a 30-for-30 documentary, the latest 30-for-30 documentary entitled Fantastic Lies, that actually centers around the Duke lacrosse team and the situation that occurred in spring break of 2006 concerning the Duke lacrosse players, in which they decided to throw a party, invite two strippers over, and one of those strippers cried rape. The media and everyone really covering the case, public and just the public, the media, everybody, just hammered the Duke lacrosse team. Hammered them. And said that they all should be expelled They should all be in jail. And then what happens? It was all found to be a big old lie. Yeah, it's just a remarkable documentary that I think is fitting when talking about this subject because, again, we don't know what exactly happened here. Again, this is all alleged right now. All alleged right now. So I want to get that out there because, and I even went to Mateen Cleaves' Instagram page a few hours after this story came out, and I saw some comments, which I don't know if still exist on that page, but I saw some comments on his Instagram from people just completely bashing him. And calling him guilty, you know, it just really, really disheartening stuff, man. But for this to happen the week of the NCAA tournament, it couldn't have been worse timing. And I always say this, though, you know, for Brandon Dawson and Mateen Cleaves to even be in this situation, I always say you are the people who you keep around you. I always say that bad company, bad company. And if you realize that you may have some toxic people around you, then you need to reevaluate some things. And when it concerns Brandon Dawson and Mateen Cleaves, if they are guilty in this situation, without a doubt, they need to feel the wrath of the law if they are found guilty. And, you know, it just goes to show, though, that at times, we really, and especially when it comes to athletes, you know, and again, this is all alleged right now. But if it's found true, again, when it comes to athletes, sometimes you don't really know who a person is. You know what I mean? So I'm not calling Cleaves guilty and I'm not calling Dawson guilty right now because we clearly need to find out more about this story and we need to find out their side of the story because Cleaves' attorney has come out and said that the allegations are absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, this is a man, you know, Cleaves has had, you know, even though his career didn't pan out, you know, in the NBA, I mean, he played for the Pistons, the Kings, Cavs, Supersonics, didn't really cut the mustard at that level of play. But he has had a very successful career in the world of broadcasting. And when it comes to philanthropic endeavors, we've had Mateen Cleaves on our airwaves multiple times to talk about his, you know, his charity that he does around the holidays and helping, you know, families out. He's been seen on at least two sports networks. I know he's on Sirius XM with his own basketball show, talking about the NBA. Also around this time of the year, he's usually on CBS as one of the analysts in studio breaking down the tournament games. He's had a great career. He had a great career. So for me, when looking at this and all of my interactions with Mateen Cleaves have been great. And with Brandon Dawson, I've had a great relationship, a working relationship with the both of them, you know, since I got the job here at WKR with Mateen, and then since, of course, Brandon Dawson's playing days. But sometimes you just never know a person because I've seen, you know, cats who I've covered who have been great people, but, you know, you just don't know what happens behind closed doors. You don't fully know that person. You know what I mean? Unless you're really close to them. So, but just very disheartening news. I know Tom Izzo, he weighed on this actually on Tuesday during practice in preparation of playing in the NCAA tournament on Friday. And Tom had this to say, quote, "I'm saddened by it. I'm saddened for him and his family." And we all know how close Tom Izzo and Mateen Cleaves are, dating back to what they accomplished back in 2000, winning a national championship. Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKR's Current Sports, I got to know, my man, what's your reaction to both of these stories?
Yeah, you know, you do take it with a grain of salt, simply considering that right now these are accusations. They're not definite decisions. They're not admittals from the actual players or former player. So you have to take it with the thought in,
with
mind,
that in mind
that,
right,
you know, they might not be guilty. But at the same time, I think this often comes from a sort of power complex that is obtained by certain athletes who then think, you know, maybe they're above the law, above punishment, above the standards of normal people. Of course, they might not have done anything wrong whatsoever, but you hear about these instances more so with athletes than you do with other members of society, and maybe that's just because of all the media attention, all of that. And actually, I saw a rate that said athletes are actually less likely to commit crimes, even though they seem so much more culpable in so many cases. But this is something where these individual situations, there was something similar with Darren Sharper, a former safety in the NFL who was found guilty for drugging and raping multiple women. And it's just this case where these athletes began to think that they might be above the average person. They might be superior. And that just leads to a corrosive, toxic way of thinking where they try to do all sorts of things, get everybody they want, anything they want, different things like that. And that often is where the problem stems from, if you ask me. However, with all of that being said, wait for the charges to be decided. That's the one thing you've got to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Not necessarily true.
Right, because we all know there. We've seen, you know, cases like this when it comes to not even just athletes, but, you know, individuals who are embraced in fame, you know what I mean, who are on that level. We've seen, you know, situations where they have not been, you know, found guilty of what they've been accused of because that individual may have just wanted some money or wanted to tear down someone. And Izzo is really coming to bat for Mateen. I read the first quote about, you know, Izzo being kind of disheartened by the situation, really when it comes to Mateen and his family in this time. And Izzo also said after practice on Tuesday that, quote, "I don't see him doing anything against somebody's will. I really don't. I think I know him well enough for that. I'm disappointed and bummed out." So in that small quote there, looks as though Izzo was coming to the aid of Mateen. But, you know, really looking at the story, though, isn't it just looking at Mateen's story, Isaac? It's so interesting because the story talks about how the 24-year-old woman, so they're at this charity golf outing. After the golf outing, they go to the bar. They're sitting at the bar. The 24-year-old woman has a boyfriend. That's what's really throwing
it's
me off
peculiar.
About this. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's very peculiar because, you know, if she has a boyfriend, and, okay, the boyfriend, according to the story, according to her story, the boyfriend left to drop a friend off and left his girlfriend with Cleves to drop her off at the clubhouse? Does that even sound correct? Okay, I'm just saying, if I'm at a bar, all right, I'm just playing the charity golf outing. I'm at a bar with my girl, right? My friend needs a ride somewhere. He needs a ride to be dropped off. Wouldn't my girlfriend also come with me on that trip?
Yeah, you say, come on, we'll go home after.
Yeah, does that make any sense?
No.
I don't know.
That struck me, too, when I was reading
it.
That stood out.
So, okay, so if that happened, all right, so the boyfriend drops his boy off. Cleves, he says, all right, Mateen, can you take my girl off? You know, can you drop her off at the clubhouse? But I just don't see Mateen saying, all right, yeah, I got you. And then going to a hotel and trying to engage in some sexual activity with this young woman. I don't know. I would assume that Mateen knows her boyfriend as well. They were all at the bar together, you know? I don't know. There's some question marks there.
And that's what we can hope.
That's what we can hope.
Right. We don't know any specifics of this case. It's very possible that what alleged accusations were leveled against Mateen Cleves actually occurred, but it's also possible that they didn't. So we'll just have to wait and see when truth weighs out.
Right. And so now going with the Brandon Dawson story now, going to the specifics of his story, again, you know, Brandon Dawson, again, he was taken into custody around 7:30 a.m. on Sunday at a residence in the Playa Vista area where the team's practice facility is located on the team's west side. And, you know, I haven't seen any specific, you know, because in the Cleve story, you can, you know, see exactly what she's alleging here and kind of a detailed account of what she thought happened. But I don't really see that when it comes to the Brandon Dawson story. So, I don't know. Right now, Cleves of Grand Blanc, I mean, he was charged with unlawful imprisonment, assault with intent to commit criminal sexual penetration, second degree criminal sexual conduct, and two counts of third degree criminal sexual conduct. And the counts are punishable by up to 10 to 15 years in prison. So Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy said the change of date for the arraignment is troubling, and that she's disappointed in the way the case has been handled by the court so far. Many members of the media were notified of the change in arraignment date this morning. And I myself, you know, doing my journalistic duty, I tried to reach out to Mateen Cleves. is to see by some strike of lightning if I could get a comment. But of course, just like any other media, I got a voicemail. So we'll be following this story, though. And it, you know, I was wondering, because this story came out, you know, the Cleve story came out months ago, Isaac.
It did.
And I was wondering, okay, what's the update on this thing? You know, I think they even had, during the MSU men's basketball year, when the 2000 team was honored and Mateen Cleaves came back, pretty much the entire team came back, that case was hanging over Mateen Cleaves' head. And I was sitting there, I remember looking at, you know, Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1 and saying, is anybody going to ask Mateen about what's up on the case? And they were like, no, we won't even go that route. It was a good moment. 2000 team is there. No, we won't even go that route. And I'm pretty sure Mateen wouldn't have given us a statement anyway. But, man, this is just bad timing, though. And I just wonder how many times this is going to be brought up during Michigan State's NCAA tourney run this weekend. I don't know. What do you think?
There are a couple things, too, about this case in particular, which also made me think, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but they made me think, okay, maybe there was some collusion going on behind the scenes here, because Mateen Cleaves recently released something on the Players' Tribune called Shining Moment.
Right.
One day before this arraignment happened. And then the fact that the arraignment was scheduled and media members were alerted this morning, it was scheduled on short notice, that's a little bit odd as well. Usually you need due processing time for people to schedule their events and things like that. So I'm not sure. This whole thing really kind of has a fishy smell to it from both sides as well. But I think this will loom over the Spartans tournament run, unfortunately. But again, if these allegations are true, I think this is more of an athlete superiority complex more than a problem with a specific program, because we've seen so few Michigan State players step out of line in the basketball career of Tom Izzo. I think this would be the aberration.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when it comes to the Brandon Dawson situation, it's interesting because my fraternity brother, who I crossed into the world of Alpha Phi Alpha with, his little sister dated Brandon Dawson. And they were a very good couple. Brandon is also always a great guy. I actually attended, you know, when I was in college, one of Brandon Dawson's birthday parties. He invited me out there, and he's just always been a great guy, man. And since they've broken up, though, and it was so interesting because Snapchat. I follow my frat brother's sister on Snapchat, and everybody immediately thought about her when this story about Brandon Dawson came out. But no, this is not her. This is another young woman out in L.A. who he's currently dating. But I just, my point with that story is I've never seen – I just couldn't see Brandon doing something like that, and I really hope it's not true. So, folks, what do you think about this story between, Mateen Cleaves and Brandon Dawson, the timing of it? Again, days, literally days before the Michigan State men's basketball team, they begin their tourney run this Friday. What do you think? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, you can go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on our airwaves. Also, you can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll bring you a pretty interesting feature on the Michigan State women's club hockey team by our very own Jason Ruff. Don't go anywhere. That and more on Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Rob Blackburn is in his first year as the new head coach for the Michigan State Division I women's club hockey team. Now, before coaching the Spartans, Blackburn, get this, he coached at the University of Michigan for their women's club team for 7 years. How about that, right? Talk about a rivalry unetched, huh? We learn more about Blackburn. Why he switched from the Wolverines to the Spartans, and what he sees in the Michigan State women's program. WKAR Current Sports beat reporter Jason Ruff tells us more.
The MSU women's club hockey team has a new coach this year, Rob Blackburn, who previously coached the Michigan Wolverines for 7 consecutive years. So that begs the question, why would a successful Wolverine coach want to become a Spartan?
Basically, when Michigan indicated that they were not interested in me coming back in the capacity that I originally was coaching, they said they were opening it up to a paid coach. They had money for a paid coach. I was welcome to apply. In that process, as soon as Michigan State heard about that, they contacted me and asked me if I wanted to coach. I contacted Michigan to say, are you seriously considering me or not? And the indication was that they got upset that I was asking the question and said that that they wouldn't be considering me. Thought about it a couple days for the extra travel and everything, and decided that because the state players wanted me, that I wanted to be here.
Senior forward Karis Katuro admits she was a little nervous about having a Michigan man behind the bench.
There was just a little concern just because it was my senior year and coming in, I didn't know how the adjustment was going to be made, but in the end it turned out really well and I've had the best season and most fun season I've ever had. So,
what is it about Coach Blackburn that you like so much?
He gives the constructive criticism, but also has a good balance of keeping us motivated and positive and gives us compliments, but also is not afraid to tell us when something's we're doing something wrong. So,
even Coach Blackburn himself was a bit nervous about how well he would acclimate to the green and white.
There wasn't uncomfortableness for jumping over. It was my own personal, was I going to be able to make the switch? I graduated from Michigan as well, and be able to make that switch and be a Spartan without offending players. That was my worry. I didn't want to offend players because I wanted to be here.
Far from offending his players, Blackburn easily won them over. Sophomore forward Lindsay Oden recounts how Blackburn became an integral part of the Spartan family.
He kind of just took over from day one, and his practices are great. I mean, we don't really have to say anything. We don't have any recommendations. The biggest part that I worked with Coach on was the fight song and teaching him the fight song. He actually didn't learn the fight song until last weekend when we played Michigan, because I told him he needed to know the fight song by Michigan weekend so when we won he would be able to sing it. So that was probably the biggest change for him.
Finally, it took me a while. I finally made myself learn the fight song and I got it now. I'm not going to sing it here though.
At Munn Ice Arena, I'm Jason Ruff for WKAR Current Sports.
Gotta love that outstanding job by our own Jason Ruff. And the Division I team dropped the first game of the CCWHA playoffs earlier this year. It was, a single elimination tourney. And the Division I team finished the year 8-8-2. And the Division II team finished a bit better, 11-8-4. And they just wrapped up senior night a few weeks ago. So thanks so much to Jason for bringing that story to us. And I can only imagine how that is, Isaac. I mean, you coach at one of the most, you coach at Michigan. Then you come to one of the biggest rivals of that respective school, Michigan State. And yeah, I can only imagine. That must have been an awkward first meeting.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Whenever I have friends from Michigan, and obviously I try to remain unbiased, nonpartisan on the show, but
right,
when it's off the air, when I have friends from Michigan, I always feel bad making that trip to Ann Arbor. So to go from Ann Arbor for 7 years straight to East Lansing,
right,
that's a big switch in lifestyle.
Yeah, definitely. Coach Blackburn, he's certainly a good sport, and we appreciate his time that he lended to Mr. Ruff. We appreciate that. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will give you all a preview of the Michigan and Tulsa play-in game. It's tourney time, folks. And again, we continue to take your calls, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And you know what, Isaac? I totally forgot that not only does Barack Obama, does he fill out a men's college basketball bracket, but he just finished his women's college basketball bracket. And I see that's the headliner on ESPN.com right now. And he picked, no surprise, the top-ranked UConn Huskies to continue a fourth straight term as the NCAA women's basketball champions. No surprise there, right? No brainer, right?
Yeah, parity isn't quite the name of women's college basketball. It's, the name of women's college basketball is more UConn. So I'd imagine his record's a little bit better on that side of the basketball court, yeah.
Such an obvious pick, though. I mean, they're so good every single year. Of course, Notre Dame is another team that's very, very good every single year. I believe he has Notre Dame in the Final Four. I have to look that up to see. But yeah, he's picking the Huskies. He correctly picked them in 2015, 14, and 2010. And his selection of the Huskies in 2011 was wrong. A stunner as Texas A&M won the national title that year. So there you have that, folks. We continue to take your calls here on today's Current Sports, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one. We've got our dear friend Ray from Indiana on the line to talk a little bit of Michigan men's basketball. Ray, how you doing?
Go Tots, will beat the bullies tonight.
Ray, do you
beat them up?
Do you really think that's going to happen?
Pull
Ray?
A shocker. John Beli manipulated and lied his way into the tournament, but he can't lie and manipulate his way on the floor, can he?
Ray, looking at this matchup, though, I mean, Michigan is the clear favorite. We're looking at how they closed out in the Big Ten tournament. Do you really think Tulsa is going to beat Michigan tonight?
Well, they got a bunch of seniors. If they play the game of their life, they can beat them.
Okay, you're really hoping.
They're only 4-point favorites now.
Right? Yeah, that's true. That is true. They're 4-point favorites in that. I was going to bring that up as well. But when making this decision, Ray, are you more so choosing with your heart here?
What were they going down the stretch, my friend? 3-7, lost their last home game at Iowa. Of all the teams that only won one out of the last seven games, you know who it was against? Michigan on Michigan's floor, 10 points. What games did they beat? They beat Northwestern, a 9 seed, that had a chance to shot at the buzzer that rimmed out. Then they beat Indiana with a desperation shot from a guy that doesn't make anything usually. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do anything down the stretch to win to get in the tournament.
Yeah,
I'll argue with you every day. How many of your fans think the same way I do?
Well, I'm curious. I want them to call in 517-355-9527. But, Ray, they beat Indiana, though. Top-seeded Indiana in the Big Ten tournament. That doesn't hold any weight.
Indiana is not that good.
But they won the Big Ten, Ray.
I know they did, but I'm just saying, I don't know how State lost to them twice, but they did.
Indiana's a good team, if State played
Indiana right now, do you think State would lose to Indiana?
Well, I think it would be a good game. It wouldn't be an obvious pick for the Spartans. I mean,
the trouble with Indiana was they didn't show up to play. And the same with Northwestern. They got down like 10 points. When Purdue got up on Michigan 10-2 to start the game, what'd they end up winning by? 17? And you know where they beat them? I'm telling you, Tulsa tonight is how you beat them.
Well, what about when Michigan beat Maryland, though?
Tulsa's no good at guarding the three-point line. They better guard the three-point line tonight. And you got a dribble drive to the hoop. That's how you beat them. You beat them inside. They beat them by 16 points, Purdue, in the paint.
Well, I tell you Ray, when looking at this matchup, there's one thing I'm harping on here. Michigan has to take care of the basketball if they want to beat Tulsa. Right now,
I
saw this
stat.
Tulsa... I know you hope they don't, but Tulsa right now ranks 10th nationally in turnover margin. So that's big. That's what Tulsa does. They play great defense. So that's the big thing for me. I think the guards, guys like Derek Walton Jr., Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, Zach Irvin, they got to take care of the basketball. That's the big thing for me tonight, Ray.
Well, you say that Tulsa has a good defense because I've never watched them play. But
yeah, they rank 10th nationally in turnover margin. Well, 10th.
Then why are they saying tonight's going to be a shootout?
Well, I mean, more so when it comes to Tulsa's defense. I mean, Tulsa is a pretty good defensive team, Ray.
But they said that they're the worst around in giving up the three-point play. They're 37% giving up the three-point. Michigan. If they don't start guarding Michigan right off the bat, they'll make all kinds of threes off them.
Right, and another thing is, I mean, neither one of these teams, Tulsa or Michigan, is really very deep. as well when it comes to bench minutes. Right now, Tulsa ranks 191st in bench minutes, and Michigan is worse at 224. So you're not going to get a lot of production from the bench on either one of these teams. That's why the starters have to be so lights out tonight, I think, Ray.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think either of the team deserved to been in. I think they messed up on some of the teams. But you know what?
Who would you replace those two teams with then?
Well, that's St. Bonaventure. They said that they got really robbed. They should have been in. And there's a couple other teams that were seated second in that are in the NIT right now. St. Mary's and another team. That team that won 27 games. I don't know, because it's hard to tell. They did win 27, those two teams, but they didn't play that tough. They're not playing in the Big Ten, so you don't know how good they really are. Mm-hmm.
Right. Montcombe maybe could have made it. There's a few teams you could have brought up, but I thought Michigan, it was very impressive how they beat Northwestern and Indiana. So
yeah, well, you know what? I wanted to say one more thing. I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks since the court decided Tommy's going to be getting his penalty pretty quick.
Yeah.
I want Tommy to know when he gets his 2 week or 4 game suspension coming up here when it comes out, he can go to Jim Harbaugh all the time and he can talk to him about all the lying and cheating things Bill Belichick, so he can help Harbaugh beat Michigan State next year.
Ray, you never cease to amaze me.
Have a good night, my friend.
Ray from Indiana. Gotta love
God Ray. God bless you, buddy. Right. God bless you.
That's how you close out a show right there, Isaac. I don't know what else to say there. But, of course, Tommy is Tom Brady, okay, a former Michigan quarterback. Ray just does not like the Wolverines, Isaac.
No.
I tell you.
No, he does not. Actually, we're going to have to replace
St.
Bonaventure, I think. But that one had me going. But,
oh, boy.
Yeah, Ray does make a good point, though, in all seriousness.
Which one? Which point?
And it's that Michigan Michigan, you do need to shut them down from the outside. He's been saying that all year.
That's what they
Michigan
do. That's all they do is shoot. Right.
One of the best shooting teams in the nation. The thing is, Tulsa does have guards. Tulsa's top three scorers are guards, and Tulsa doesn't have much of an inside game. So if they can't stop Michigan from the outside, they have no chance, because Mark Donnell is by far the best big man on the court for either team. And he's not even that great, but Tulsa only has one reserve off the bench who can really play one of the big man positions. So
the thing about Mark
Donnell,
though, Donnell's got to stay out of foul trouble.
Yes, he does.
I always said about Mark Donnell, I mean, I love him as a player, but he's got to stay out of foul trouble. But, you know, interesting, though, Tulsa's got some size, specifically when talking about their guards. Get this, Isaac. Tulsa's top three scorers, all between 6'3" and 6'5". How about that? James Woodard and Shaquille Harrison, two names you're going to watch out for on Tulsa's end to watch out for tonight. They're pretty big when it comes to their guard play. So, all right, looky there, folks. We are out of time on today's show. But much thanks goes to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic afternoon. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Same time, same place. Be easy, people.